NRP, S2E2, Making Art Fun. Hey everybody, welcome to Season 2, Episode 2. Today I'm going to be talking about making drawing fun. Now, if you're like me, I mean, most people that get into making art trying to be professional about it, or semi-professional, or whatever level you want to claim, you get into it originally because it's fun. You know, when you're a kid, you draw and you don't have any, you know, people tell you stay in the lines maybe when you're coloring. Or if you're like me, you draw over the lines and draw little things and start making, you know, like I was a kid, I took Winnie the Pooh in a coloring book and I turned it into Spaceman Spiff from Calvin and Hobbes. And that was kind of a lot of what I did as a kid, where I would take something, somebody else's art, and draw it, or draw over it and change something. And, you know, that's what a lot of kids do to learn how to do things. I'd like to discuss making art fun again, because when you've been through, say, art school like me, or you've had jobs in art, invariably, what happens is you get burnt out from getting projects that you don't really want to do. I remember when I first started my webcomic, I created the characters after spending about a month in a drawing class. We were doing a still life, and basically I was looking at a pile of shoes in front of me, and I was drawing it, and I was doing shadows and everything. I'm like, I'm kind of done with this project. Can I move to a different position? Maybe draw that vase over there or something, maybe that fruit, I don't know. They're like, oh, that drawing's not done if you just push those darks darker. And I understand what he was saying, you know, that, like, you know, you can always push values darker and go over the whole drawing and make everything solid. But I was tired of drawing shoes for a month. I was like, oh boy, what am I doing with my life? Is this what my art career's come to? So, you know, I went home and I drew some cartoon characters and I tried to submit it to the school newspaper. And I was told that they only had room for one cartoonist, and they already had one. And then I found out later it was the editor's brother. But that's a whole different argument. I'm not going to go into that story because I kind of just did. Anyway, the thing about being an adult and making art is you have to start making your world kind of your playground creatively. You have to start enjoying what you're doing. You know, people like Bob Ross, when he would make a painting, and he would make those happy little trees, and he would make a river, and he's like, we're gonna make a cave over here, and there's probably a big old bear lives in that cave, and next to this, and he's probably got all these fish in this river. And he's making a world for himself because he's finding what he can enjoy about it. He's creating things. He's letting his mind roam and start going, well, if I got a bear over there, there's probably a big tree for him to scratch himself on. You know, stuff like that. And when I was in art school, I had professors, they're like, Bob Ross, he just sold paints to little old ladies and hawked a bunch of cheap tricks to people to paint and sell his wares. And it's like, guys, no. I'm not saying he was the greatest artist of all time. I'm saying he had the right attitude. He came in every day going, hey, I get to paint today. Hot dog. And there are days when I come down to the studio and it's like, hey, I get to make art. That's awesome. Because how many times in life do you get to just sit and make something and have fun with it and push textures around and values and make something as opposed to working on assembly line, stamp, okay, here's a part, here's another one. Not that I'm talking bad about factory work, it's a totally respectful profession. It's just, if you're a guy that or a gal that makes art, you kind of want to have the ability to let your mind wander and have it create something in the end result. Because otherwise, it's going to wander while you're trying to work, and then you're going to cut your hand off, and everyone's going to have a fuss. It's going to be bad. So, it's best to make use of your creative time, your creative energies. Now, the thing about being as an adult and making art, I would get burned out in school from having to do projects, having, you know, and I've tried to do the same thing to myself, give myself projects to work on, and you're just sitting there like, man, I'm not really digging this. I can't find the fun in it. And, you know, a lot of people have that with backgrounds and buildings. They're like, oh, backgrounds, they're no fun. I'm like, guys, architecture is awesome. Seriously, If you don't like drawing backgrounds, take up landscapes. Learn to paint nature and create and have a fun time like Bob Ross. Or draw great architecture like Art Deco buildings, these old 1920s buildings. Find what interests you. And there's a siren going off outside. Anyway, find what interests you about your work. And I've got several pieces of advice for that. I got one from Ray Fredden, who he said the best advice he ever got was to, when designing characters, was to start with a silhouette and start with a brush that's bigger than you're comfortable with. And the reason he did this would be because when you're fussing and trying to get a handle on it, you have accidents with it. And sometimes those accidents can lead to things, because if you're so intent on zeroing in with laser precision, getting that exact line, because I knew in art school people who would do very precise line drawings, but they wouldn't have the solid foundation in the artwork. Like, I knew a guy, he could draw like very detailed contour line drawings that looked like Leonardo da Vinci and everything, but he got so frustrated because he couldn't make the characters turn and keep the perspective right, and the professor, on like the last day of class, explained to him the idea of making the body a box and then drawing your beautiful contour line drawings around that, so that way you can keep the body and rotate it and then make your line artwork. And I was just sitting there going, man, I mean, the professor tried to explain it to him all year and he didn't quite get it, and then that one day I'm like, well, at least the guy had the breakthrough and he could take the class the next semester and he learned from his mistakes. And you know, when you're zeroing in on exact, you know, getting all the outside details, it's like if you're trying to build a house, you don't want to start with laying the siding, you know, and you don't want to try and trim up that window. You want to actually build a frame, maybe put some foundation in there, build, you know, start from somewhere. And when you're starting out with a drawing and just creating, you want to try and have fun, make positive and negative shapes. And there's a video on design theory, and then I've linked two videos in his Design Lab series from Cynics, where he talks about he uses this brush and painter that kind of has thick and thin, but also creates a lot of randomness here and there, and so he can scribble around and create lines and shapes, and then just squint his eyes a little bit and go, I can kind of see a form here. I'm going to see like an arm here and maybe a wing over here. You know? And that's important, because it's important to be able to just have fun with your work and start playing with it. And another thing he did, he works in the thumbnails first, which you keep them small so you don't have to fill up a big space. And you can just kind of play around. And then if you don't like one, just jump to the next one. And I think this is a good way to work in the beginning, is to do thumbnails and little workarounds and figure things out, and then maybe jump into a finished piece, because I know I have the problem of a lot of times I'll sit down to start a project, open up a blank canvas, and go, I gotta fill that with a portrait? I don't know where. So I start drawing the circle, and I start drawing more circles, and start drawing the lines for the face, and I don't like that. And it's like, really, figure stuff out on a thumbnail scale. I mean, I've got this really nice program for note-taking, Circus Pony's Notebook for the Mac, that I use, and I'll go into detail about that in its own podcast. I really want to do some videos on it, because it's a great way to not only... It works not only well as a notebook for just storing and dumping info, links to stuff, and making lists and prioritizing and dragging stuff around and moving it, but also it has diagramming stuff built in, which I find is very useful for, say, comic pages, where you can figure out the flow of panels, and then it also has ink feature, so you can kind of use it as a sketchbook, not too deep, but for thumbnailing, which I think is good. I think it's good to have a program that it'll give you some functionality, but it also gives you limits on what you can do with it, so then you can come up with some ideas, knock some ideas out, and take those into your main art program and actually work on it. I want to talk about some projects for producing art consistently and without making anxiety or making yourself feel pressured to make everything perfect, I've been reading up about things such as the daily painting movement, which is the idea that every day you make some sort of piece of art. You make a little panel, you can make a big canvas, but it's basically a good idea to start small and just spit something out in an hour. And these can be like your warm-up illustrations that you just go at. You know, I mean, you can always finish stuff up later on if you do a piece and then you want to do more later. But the idea of the movement is that every day you're making art. I mean, there's another movement that's similar to it, which is the idea of artist trading cards, which is you get these little, like, you know, literally trading card, like, you know, baseball card-sized art. Now, I know printmakers that do this, I've known painters that do this, you know, just draw, people who'd like to draw, you make artist trading cards of art, where you take the art, and you're like, I feel like drawing a portrait of a model, I feel like drawing a landscape in this one, I feel like painting a bowl of fruit in this one, and the idea with that is that you make it, and then you find friends to trade with, and, like, you know, sometimes you take requests from each other, and that leads up to another concept. On both Tumblr and DeviantArt, is the idea of challenges. Daily challenges, or just, you know, like a thing. Because I've seen people go, like, there was a movement for a day of a challenge of, okay, draw yourself as you were 16 and as you are today. And you see a lot of people going like, okay, I was very, you know, a goth kid when I was in high school, and now I'm like, you know, a metalhead, or now I'm a clean-shaven nerd, or I was a hippie in high school, you know. And the idea is the subject is a very quick idea. It's like, hey guys, here's an idea, go with it. And they would go with it and draw and make an illustration, and then they'd be like, okay, everybody, you guys did great there, that's kind of a good idea, oh, I like what this guy did, and then you move on to the next one. And it's that flow of ideas. The, you know, a challenge of like, okay, everybody draw your favorite dinosaur, everybody do an illustration of a 30s, you know, actor, you know, something like that. And you get those a lot on, they come around on Tumblr. There's DeviantArt groups, I believe, that you can, well, I mean, there's groups on both you can belong to get ideas. So there's groups like that. There's a group I know of called the Great Daily Sketch Bet, which some friends of mine started, where they would all challenge each other to just make a drawing a day and upload it and see how long they can keep up with it. And then they would bet something. And, you know, the winner at the end, I don't remember. When it started, it was originally like, you know, somebody would be able to do coding, HTML. Someone else would write something for somebody. Somebody would, you know, you'd have something to offer. And I think later it went down to money. I'm not sure. I didn't participate in it because I was always buried in other projects. Things like that. When Scott McCloud came out with the 24-hour comic challenge, there was also the daily comic grind kind of idea where you always draw something that day. And you always, I mean, it worked great for web cartoons, but it's also a good idea that every day you're making an art of some kind. I don't draw enough is my problem. Because, I mean, there are some people that are artists because they work visually. That's how they process things. Like, they fill notebooks just naturally drawing a lot of stuff and drawing people and drawing things, and they're drawing all the time. And that's a mentality. But I didn't have that. I mean, I would draw a lot. I draw... That's another reason why I wanted to discuss this, is because I draw, but it's always in the service of a goal. It's always in, I have to get a new comic up on a website. I have to finish this book I'm trying to write and illustrate. I would always try and focus on a goal, and I wouldn't give myself room to really play and create. And I guess my fear is that when I do that, I scribble, 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 scribble. Okay, this whole page is full of doodles and nothing. And I think that's a disservice to myself, and when other people do that, it's a disservice to think that this whole scribble page full of doodles is nothing. The point was, I scribbled and doodled and had a little fun, and then I took that and I blew it up and I detailed it and I worked on that. And it's a way to break up the flow of, I have to do this page today, I have to do this illustration. It's like, have some time to have fun with your work. Have some time to let yourself actually create. Because unfortunately, a lot of time when I'm sitting up thinking up these ideas, I'm like, oh, how about a story about robots, right? Yeah, see, there's this colony of robots and they do this thing. And, you know, and you develop a story, but then when it comes to actually create, you're like, I can't draw. I don't know what I want these figures to look like. I don't know what style. Because that happens a lot, too, is I'm like, I don't know what style I want to draw this in. Should they be cartoony? Should they be realistic? I need to look up reference material, and an hour later, you're looking up portraits of something else, like Japanese paintings and stuff, and it's like, I sidetracked myself. I had a nice character design course in college where we went through the whole thing, and, like, you know, people would do that thing where you scribble and you focus on the lines rather than actually building up a character and just free-forming it. And, at the end of the course, the professor gave us, like, a list of, like, 100 or so different, like, animals that were funny concepts, and it said, draw a funny chicken. You don't have any reference in the class. Just draw it. And we built you did the circle for the skull and the body, and you did the line for the posture, sometimes you'd scribble to get a line of action and figure stuff out, and you made it all from your mind was the thing, that you were actively working on it. And at the end of the class, I mean, a lot of people were frustrated, a lot of people were changing majors, you know, but it was still, at the end of the course, a lot of us were sitting there going, well, I get it. You actually have to apply yourself, and rather than all this worry about things, sometimes there's a lot that you can make from your own mind if you give yourself the mind capacity to just see what you can create, and then also the confidence in yourself creatively and artistically to go, okay, I can make a figure out of this, and I can do the shading and evolve this and that, because that's a lot about making art is. It's a confidence and the resolve that I will finish this drawing. And if I don't finish this particular version of it, I can slap another piece of paper on it, or I can just start on another layer in Photoshop, and I will continue. So, with that said, I'd like to tell you all to remember to check the blog entry for this, because I'm going to be sharing a lot of links on digital painting, some useful things like, there's a couple palette pickers, there's a nice PSD link on the site I'll link to you, where you can enter a color, and it'll provide complementary shadows, highlights, you know, and there's a number of sites that help you, like, center a color, and then you can build a palette around it with complementaries, or, you know, just a number of different things, some tutorials on digital painting, which I'm still learning and working on how to do digital painting. But there's a lot of stuff out there, and what I like to do is I like to pull in the good stuff and share with you guys in these posts. So be sure to check that out. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and I'll see y'all next week. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.